Chapter 15, Doing Better Than Your Best 2022. Well, 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 we've come a long way already. We've come a long way already. You know, this recording always requires adjustment. No matter how many times I save it, fix it up, requires adjustment. We require adjustment. No matter how much we put ourselves in order, we require adjustment. And that helps us to reminds us that we can go back to God for adjustments, adjustments, adjustments. I need to make chapter 15 clear right off the bat. Doing better than your best, 2022. Doing your best is something we all do. We all try and achieve doing our best. Problem is, our best, simply put, is not good enough. My best can get me into trouble. The trick is to do better than my best, and the only way to do that is with God. All I got to do is ask Him. Why don't I do that all the time? Well, by the time I get to the end of this lesson, you'll know about listening and assessing incorrect voices and vices in your head. How does that happen? How does that happen? First of all, mute your phones, everyone. Mute your phone. How does that happen? It happens in steps, little by little. We break away from common sense until we're all alone with stupid. Let me say that again. It steps. Little by little, we break away from common sense until we're all alone with stupid. What's the first step towards stupid? A concept I call it'll do Lou. It'll do Lou, meaning it'll do is good enough. Let me tell you, folks, it'll do is not good enough. It'll do. I did enough. I'm only human. Blah, blah, blah. Why is that not okay? Because God did not create an it'll do person. He created you in the image of Him, Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Wow, you and me are created in the image of God. What else would you need to say? Well, clearly a lot. Why? Other things get in the way of you doing better than your best, of asking God. You see, the bad guy wants to get in the way. The bad guy wants to get in the way of you, and I want you to remember that so that at the end of this lesson, you have a better understanding of the following scripture, 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. That means we can all get together and fight it together. We can fight it together. We're plagued by lazy, stubborn, entitlement, ego, pride, all of it, right? We have fellowship. We have Christianity. We have the Bible. We have God. We have each other. And still, we are plagued by lazy, stubborn, entitlement, ego, pride. All of it gets in the way of just doing the job and staying the correct course. Phrases like should have been, could have been, supposed to be, used to be. All those kind of sayings get us into the headspace not well suited for the way it is. I got to deal with the way it is, man. You got to deal with the way it is right now, right this minute, right here. Not the way it's supposed to be or used to be or it's kind of be or I thought it was or you went back in the day. Move accordingly. Stop all of it, the chatter in your head. Move accordingly and do what needs to be done with the way it is. This is the way it is. Accept it and deal accordingly. Be blessed by what God has given in this very minute, man. In this very minute, problem solve in this very minute, work, complete tasks, push forward. What else gets in the way? Fear, terror, phrases like, it won't work, I doubt it, it'll never work, no way, can't happen, dead in the water, not, no, never worked before. Embarrassment will get you every time if you're not quick to push it aside. It'll get you every time, man. You'll run away. Run away from the challenge. All of it. It's a real showstopper, isn't it? And the book of Luke is a story of a loving father. A loving father. And he has a possessed child, a son who is thrown into dangerous convulsions since birth, pleaded with Jesus. Father pleaded with Jesus to heal the boy and cast out the demon within his child. Mark 9:23-24. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's the example, man. Help me with my unbelief. You see, Jesus gave the man a stronger faith, and that is what healed the boy. You get it? God can give you a stronger faith, and you can conquer so many things with a stronger faith. You can ask him for a stronger faith. Jesus just didn't go around dad and fix the kid. Jesus fixed the dad. He gave him the request. He made his faith stronger. You see, he made him better than his best. He made him better than his best. We are designed by God to deal with the life he has designed for us. Another story, in the book of Esther, there's a great line that I love, and it says, "Perhaps you were prepared for such a time as this." It's a great line. Let me tell you about it. The story takes place thousands of years ago in Persia around 479 BC. At the time, the Jews are being held in captivity. That's a whole other story, not for today. It's not a bad time necessarily for them. It's just not really a good time for the Jews. And Esther is a Jew. And that fact is unbeknown to the king who has allowed her to become crowned queen. When that happens, a secret plot is revealed to her. So not only is she now queen and a Jew, and the king doesn't know it, she's now tasked with reporting to the king of a diabolical plot has been revealed to her to destroy her brethren, the Jews, that live in the country. To destroy them, annihilate all of them. Filled with fear, she hesitates. If the king is not pleased with her, and she goes to him to report this, and he finds out she's a Jew on top of it, her life could be in jeopardy. But as a Jew, if she fails to report this to the king and to uncover this bad guy, the plot maker behind it, Haman, his name is Haman, he has manipulated the king. This is a bad guy. He's manipulated the king to do this terrible thing. In a short time, if she doesn't act, her people will be destroyed. She hesitates still. And her uncle Mordecai steps in and warns her. Now dig that. She hesitates to do the right thing, to be better than her best. She hesitates. Her uncle Mordecai steps in and says, if you keep silent at this time, liberation and deliverance will come to the Jewish people from another place. But you and your father's house will be destroyed. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. You see, there it is. For such a time as this, being obedient can and will be inconvenient. Won't it? It's scary, but oh so rewarding. And when I follow, truly follow God's will, I discover what he has prepared for me. Did Esther come through, by the way? Yeah, she did. The king did listen to her, and he was pleased with her. And the Jews were saved. And the antagonist, Haman, lost his life for his misuse of power. Galatians 6:9, we must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. You see, this woman decided to trust what was right. She decided to trust what was right. And in doing what was right, she was protected? Well, she did, yes. And she did better than her best. Better than her best. God's made such an amazing each one of us. With God, all things can be done. But I know without teaching and purpose what I'm worth. I know. Without it, I'm a cell phone without a charger. Dig that. A Maserati without gas. A flashlight without batteries. 2 Timothy 1:7, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love and discipline. Now, here's the scary one, Matthew 22:14. Many are called, but few are chosen. What happens when you decide, I'm out. I didn't sign up for this. It's too hard. It's too confusing. It's too stressful. It's too much of a pain. I don't like it. I'm not going to do it. Well, if you do that, if I do that, I'll get my wish. If you do that, you'll get your wish. And in time, a slow, arduous death of your responsibility is the prize. Let me say it again. When you give up on everything, it's too much, I can't take it, I didn't sign up for this, I ain't gonna do it, you'll get your wish. And your responsibility will slip away from you. And the enemy, the opposition, will have sold you a bill of goods that is nothing more than an empty box. And you will have paid for it with all that the Lord had given you. And what remains? The memory of being special without being special anymore. Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? Titus 1:9. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. How can you teach your children if you don't hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught? How can you teach your children? How can you be a good example? How can you lead your troops? You can't. What else gets in the way of doing better than your best, of asking God? What? Disturbance. Disturbance gets in your path. What's a disturbance? Second-guessing yourself. We do it all the time. Changing course instead of having faith. Setting the correct course and staying the course. Disturbance. Second-guessing. Quote a fair price in your business. Quote a fair price and leave it alone. Instead of what? Should I reduce my rate? Should I increase my rate? Quote a fair price. If it's meant to be, it'll be clear. If not, I dodged a bullet, thank you, God. We second guess ourselves. It makes us crazy. Why should I be so concerned with doing better than my best? Well, for me, it's time. Time, my friends. How many seconds do you have left in your life? What are you going to do with yours, huh? James 4:13-14, come now. You who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Yeah, man, we got all these major plans, more, more, more. Instead of doing life, do more than just doing life. Like a charge card, if you pay the minimums, you'll never pay it off. But if you pay a little more than the minimums, suddenly it's all paid off. We're in the service of the Lord and here to do the job he set forth today in our community to each other. Many times, truth, we've all said it, how am I going to handle the future? How am I going to work like this when I'm 100 years old? Oh, what am I going to do? Stop doing that. It's not productive. I call it dimension jumping, right? Dimension jumping. We go into the future. It's not good. We better do this. It's all bad. We go into the past. I did it all wrong. Oh, it used to be better. It used to be this. I don't know. Stop all that. Stay in the right now and take care of the list today. Today, Matthew 6:33-34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Yeah? Come on. Bring it. Be careful of shortcuts. Beware. More is not better. Better is better. Take care of what you have, and growth will happen all by itself. God gives you what you need. We get in trouble when we go after what we want. Let me say it again, brothers and sisters. God gives you what you need. We get in trouble when we go after what we want. Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? It's a lot less of a hassle and a lot less of a brain drain to trust that God will direct you. I rest in that. I rest in that. It gives me rest. Because he will also give me an unquenchable spirit to obtain what he has offered me. A strength to forge ahead and continue the mission. There it is. The want to do better than my best. To give him back better than what he gave me. And I can't outgive God. So what'll happen? The byproduct is I just get better. I don't have to worry about incorrect decisions when I'm following the Lord. I will know mistakes. He will warn me, show me, help me. He does every day, but I got to stay tight with the guy. 1 Timothy 1, 6 through 9. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Ha! Woo, dude. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. I share with you the origin of failure, a lesson I teach. A decision that costs everything. We've all done it, well, some more than others. An origin of failure is that decision that brings everything to hell. Part of the recovery of a company, of a person, actually, a company, a person, is walking back from the jaws of catastrophic failure, walking back away from it to the exact point of what caused the problem. Kind of like taking a path when you're hiking, right? When you're lost, God willing, you find your way back to the place where you made a wrong turn. You got to go back the same way you came to where you made that wrong turn. And at that very point, I can turn to the correct direction and proceed, right? For me, I've witnessed that blessing many times in people, in turnaround in my life. They've been brought back to that very spot. It's a hard choice. It's a hard choice because they see all the mistakes that they made, and then they look to the right path, and they see how challenging it is. It's an uphill battle, very challenging. And they choose that, and they go on their way. It's amazing. It's wonderful to watch. Well, I've also witnessed those who make it all the way back. All the way back. They make it all the way. It takes them years to get back. And they look towards the right direction, and they see how steep and difficult it is. And they opt out. Not me. I'm not doing it, man. Rather than ask God for the strength to overcome, they turn back. It's heartbreaking to watch, and they disappear. They disappear into the Black Forest? I hope not. They're going the wrong direction. They just decide not to do it. And all the things I've above mentioned get in the way. All of them. Our pride, embarrassment, fear. It's not supposed to be that way. All kinds of things get in the way, but at the end of the day, they don't pay well. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Remember that, kids. Remember that. Let me explain something about prayer and seeking God. When you share, you know, with people that God has told you to do something, we've heard that all the time. You share with people. Make sure you've truly asked God what he wants you to do, and you have patiently waited for the answer. You hear it all the time. God told me,
well, I'll tell you what, I prayed about it. God told me what to do, and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah? Make sure that you have truly asked God what he wants, what he wants you to do, and you have patiently waited for the answer. What's the option? What's the flip side of that? Beware that in your prayer, you're not just reporting or telling him to co-sign what you've already decided to do. How often do we do that? We're praying, but we've already decided what we're going to do. We just want God to co-sign it. And short of an earthquake, we're going to do what we want to do. I call that beware of the voices in your head. There are two voices in my head, the voice of reason and the voice of treason. The voice of reason and the voice of treason. Guess which one is God? In closing, I'll tell you a little story that happens in the book of Job. It tells of just such an occasion. A man named Eliphaz, a friend of Job, tries to explain the calamity that has befallen his friend, Job. He tries to tell Job what's happened to him and why. By the way, in case you don't recall, Job is the story of a man who was horribly tested by the devil and proved to all in his neighborhood. He was horribly tested by the devil to come against God. He was horribly tested. Bad things happened to him. But Job prevailed, and he proved to the whole neighborhood, including the devil and thousands of years of people who have read this story, that he, Job, remained steadfast in his faith and could not be wavered by the attacks of Satan. And it was a terrible story. He lost his kids. He lost his
his riches, he lost his property, he lost everything. And he got sick, he had health problems. But in the end, well, we'll keep going. Eliphaz had no idea why Job was going through the hideous idea, so he made it up. He prayed, perhaps, like I'm saying, he prayed. And what he decided, that had what had come to him in a vision, he shared what had come to him in a vision. It wasn't only incorrect, but it certainly wasn't helpful to anyone, especially his buddy Job. Now, in the next scripture, I want you to learn how destructive listening to the wrong voice in your head can be. Listening to what you believe God told you. This capsulizes all of us when we say we've heard from God and it's not God. Job 4, 12, 16. A word was secretly brought to me. My ears caught a whisper of it. Amid disquieting dreams in the night when deep sleep falls on people, fear and trembling seized me and made all my bones shake. A spirit glided past my face and the hair on my body stood on end. It stopped. But I could not tell what it was. A form stood before my eyes, and I heard a hushed voice. So far, complete nonsense and certainly not from God. But when people share this to other people, it's dangerous. Because this guy went on to tell Job that his vision clearly reveals that Job is being punished for some reason by God, which is absolutely not true. Job is being tested, and in the end, Job wins the test and is rewarded. This guy is wrong. But how often do we say, I heard a word from God? How do you know? We have to be very in tune with the Spirit to be able to say, I heard from God. Why? Well, Job, at the end of the story, was rewarded. It became clear that God had tested him and he had prevailed. Why? Why did he prevail? Because Job listened to the voice of God, the voice of reason, not treason. Listening to the wrong people, the wrong voices in your own head, your own stubborn manifestation of God that would help you along the wrong road in the name of God? Come on, we do it all the time. We got to stop that. We got to be aware of that. Doing better than your best can't be achieved without God. And a great deal of testing, fortitude, and overcoming of the sinful, selfish nature. Jesus has overcome the world. Remember that? I just gave you that scripture. Jesus has overcome the world. And he will help you do the same. Chapter 15, doing better than your best. Only in God is this possible, and as usual, in each of us, when called upon by the Lord. When called upon by the Lord for the test, what's the most profitable word I have ever taught any of you? When called upon by the Lord to be tested, say, okay. Amen, amen. John, it's time to move her on down the road.